This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Shadowbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Well, good evening, Australia.
And good evening, my love.
Good evening, my love. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm super, super excited tonight because we've got a little bit of a twist on our regular Chatterbox.
We do, don't we? We've got a very special guest tonight.
We do. Now, look, if you haven't listened to Chatterbox before, it's unbelievable why, because we've been on for nearly 12 months. So maybe you've been in prison. I don't
know. Well, who knows?
But we are a talk show where we bring in a member of the GLBTIQA community and we get them to choose four songs and talk about themselves, and we've got a wonderful A tonight, which is an ally.
Yes.
And that's the wonderful Kerry Beitzel from PFLAG.
I know.
For anybody out there, again, that's living under a rock that doesn't know what PFLAG is, it's Parents and Friends for Lesbians and Gays.
Absolutely.
And she's the head of PFLAG Victoria.
I know.
And she's coming in to talk about herself, firstly, yes, but also PFLAG as an organisation and share a little bit of her experience with her own, journey with her sons coming out, which is super exciting because it's a completely different take on what we've had on the show before.
Absolutely.
And it'll be really lovely to hear it from the other side rather from that personal journey of this is how I came out. This is my experience of coming out.
Now, hey, I just want to say before, my love, before we go on to play your cracking first choice, yes, by Shalimar.
Yes.
I want to say a big thank you to, we raised around $1,200 just for our show last week for Radiothon. So a big thank you to all the people who renewed and signed up as new members and existing members.
We did indeed. We got 12 memberships, which was fantastic for a little talk show at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night. The little show that could.
The little show that could. Because you know what it's about, and I want to dedicate your first selection. It's by Shalimar.
Yes.
And it's 82, 83, my love.
About 83, 84.
83, yeah. And it's for those beautiful friends.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. And that was our first track for the night, which was Shalimar with Friends, which is quite apt.
Yes.
Because our guest tonight is the gorgeous Kerry Beitzel from PFLAG, which stands for Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. So welcome to the show, Kerry.
Yay! Oh, thank you.
Now, Kerry, you're no stranger to Joy, are you? You've been on Joy before.
I have. I love coming through the building of Joy. I remember when you were in off Clarendon Street.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I got the Mother's Day Award down.
Oh, did you?
Oh, congratulations.
They had no one else, I don't think, because it kept coming back.
Now, if people have been living under a rock and they don't know what PFLAG is, Tell us a little bit about what PFLAG stands for and how PFLAG came to be.
PFLAG, like most things, have come that it originated out of America, yep. San Francisco, when a mother could see the need to, when her child came out, she felt isolated, which is quite normal, we find. And PFLAG originated in the United States. Then Gorgeous Molly in Sydney and Nan McGregor in Melbourne, they could see a real need for PFLAG in Australia. Yep. It actually started in Adelaide, from my understanding, and but they really did drive it. What Nan McGregor did for PFLAG in Melbourne, Victoria, and what Molly did in Sydney. It was just phenomenal, both of them. And they did it so graciously, never looking for awards or anything. They really were the pioneers of PFLAG in this country.
So tell us a little bit about what PFLAG started as and I suppose what PFLAG offers now.
Well, it's always been a support group for other parents and also for siblings, for friends when they come out. And what has happened over the years, the change I've seen, sometimes the sons and daughters come to PFLAG because their parents have come out.
Oh, wow.
What was happening in the 70s and earlier than that, people would get married because it was what was expected.
Absolutely.
That double life. Then they would come out.
Yeah.
And then the sons and daughters would be just lost, or the wives or the husbands would be lost. And so they stopped living that double life. So I've seen that change as well. But I've also seen the amazing thing with PFLAG, that support. But, you know, the shock people have. We have a saying in PFLAG, when our children come out of the closet, we go into the closet. And that's very true. That is very true.
Well, this reminds me of a new show that Andy and I've been watching, is Grace and Frankie. I'm not sure if you've heard about it. And it's Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. And they're women in their early 70s, and their husbands both come out and decide to leave them.
Oh, wow.
And they start this... Both couples almost like form these two new couples and they start this new life together. And it's quite heaven.
Fantastic.
It's absolutely heaven. So it's very positive spin.
Oh, absolutely.
On what can be quite a devastating time. Yes.
But that's really interesting that you mentioned the fact that there have been children of people that have come out later in life come to PFLAG, because we had, and I won't name them for obvious reasons, but we had a guest on the show quite a while ago whose father came out as gay, and she didn't have a problem accepting it at all. But her mother never knew. They'd split up. Her mum and dad had split up years ago.
Yeah.
And her mum never knew, and she'd never told her mum. And she probably struggled with that a little bit because she was so comfortable with her dad, but she wasn't comfortable enough to tell her mother about it.
Mm. It's interesting.
It really is. And I think
all
there
the layers.
There are so many dynamics at play when somebody comes out that it's not just as straightforward as I'm gay.
Yep.
We love you.
Yeah, we're definitely PFLAG. In summary, we really are a support group.
Yeah,
a support group for anyone who needs our support.
Yeah,
and it's interesting. Like the needs, the cycle of acceptance from when I first got involved with PFLAG, the cycle of acceptance would be maybe at least 18 months, sometimes up to 4 years.
Yeah,
wow.
Now you'd see it; it wouldn't be beyond 18 weeks usually.
Yeah.
And sometimes you talk to people after a couple of cups of tea. They might be.
So can I ask, what do you think has changed that, though? What do you think has sped that process up?
Well, it's just, I think it's so out there now.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing this huge movement now with the trans, like even Bold and the Beautiful, which I'm watching religiously with a good excuse, research for PFLAG.
Yes.
But now we're seeing what's happening there. That is I never thought in my lifetime I would ever see such acceptance for the trans community. Even though that personally hasn't affected me because my son isn't trans, he's gay. But I just find that phenomenal, and that is really what's happening in the trans world is really what happened, I think, with in the gay community, say 15, 20 years ago.
And it's funny, another TV show that we've been watching is being Transparent, which is when the father is coming out as a transsexual female, and it is, that's quite fascinating as well with what's happening as well. Hey, look, you're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Ann tonight with our very special guest, Kerry, only on Joy 94.9.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, Kerry Beitzel from PFLAG Victoria on Joy 94.9. Now, Kerry, a big part of Chatterbox is we bring in a member of the community to talk about themselves and their experiences, but also to choose four songs. And we got you to choose four songs tonight. Did you find that hard or easy?
Oh, look, I found it. I was never really a music. I was never what's it called?
A muso.
Muso.
A groupie, wasn't it? You know, the girls who used to hang around and sleep with
all
the players. I was never really into that because I was too busy.
You had
doing
too much
speed.
P flag doing.
Oh no, no, I was before P flag. This is when I was young, and I was I was pretending I was actually Dawn Fraser because I love swimming so much.
Oh wow!
And I got her autograph from someone else, and I actually couldn't understand why I kept being in the principal's office because I vandalised every desk signing my name as Dawn Fraser. It was on my rulers. It was on everything.
Oh, that's
every
brilliant.
Desk, everything. Like,
yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
the man who used to do Serenity or Infinity in Sydney?
Oh, Eternity.
Eternity,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
right. Well, yeah. I was Dawn Fraser. And I even dressed as Dawn, and I would never get that outfit off.
How would you dress as Dawn? What would Dawn wear?
On the front of the Gold Medal Girl by Harry Gordon, Dawn wore her favourite outfit, which was white terry toweling shorts, a white polo shirt, white socks and white runners. Now, I wore that outfit so often. My mother put it in the sink and said, "You're not going to be wearing this today." I put it on wet and ran down the side of that house at 8 years of age and went off to the library dripping wet.
Oh, bless.
True story.
Was it Dawn? Did she get kicked out of the Olympics? Was it Japan?
Yes, Tokyo, for stealing the flag.
She stole the flag.
Mischief. Yes. She got up to mischief.
And it's funny because they banned her. And
10 years.
It was
ridiculous.
So ridiculous for
and
its
she
time.
Actually, if she had a swum in Mexico, they did a time trial. And Judy Joy Davis, who was also a great Herald Sun sports journalist, and I actually asked you, Joy, was it true that the time trial in Mexico, Dawn hadn't even trained, would she have swum that time? If she had swum the time, she would have won the gold medal. It was just a pretend thing they
wow.
did. At the before in Mexico, she was over there commentating Dawn, and she said, very true.
Oh, wow.
So she would have won. She was robbed of a gold. We robbed Australia of a gold medal.
Yeah.
Well, I love my Dawn Fraser.
Oh, my goodness.
Kerry, cast your mind back and tell us a little bit about early Kerry, where you grew up, your early life, childhood.
Well, I grew up down in Hampton, Brighton, there.
Lovely part of the world.
And look, I came from a really fun family. I came from the family that everyone who came to live in our street, there was a lady across the road, she inherited a home.
Yes.
She had a lot of children. She was really struggling. And all the people who used to go to church used to be very judgmental of that lady. Mum didn't go to church. She said, "You can do more work outside."
Yeah.
She was the one who would take the meals over, who would help this lady tremendously. Oh. So we had people, Romanian people, Italian people. It was just normal. Everyone came to our home.
Yeah.
People came for Christmas days. They didn't have their own families.
Yeah.
Dad had, you know, we're a Christian family. But, you know, it was very normal for us to go to bar mitzvahs all the time.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was just how everyone was.
Everyone
accepted everybody. And Dad had a great vision of what he wanted our world to be.
And what was that?
And Mum was to really be able to walk into any room. He thought if you could sing every football song, you'd be accepted. So on Sundays, on Sunday drives, be able to sing word perfect every football song.
Oh, wow.
And he said, "You'll never ever be lonely if you can play the piano, if you're shy." He didn't have a problem with me, I don't think. If you play the piano, so if you don't talk to everyone will gather around the piano, especially when you sing the football songs.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't get past first grade with the piano lessons 8 years later. Because when I was growing up, we had one of those pre-recorded things. It was very rare to have a recorder. And I used to record myself playing.
Yes.
But when I used to have to be practicing, I'd be reading my swimming books about Dawn Fraser. And I'd be playing all this music, Mum thinking I was practicing. So I was a bit of a mischief maker, I suppose.
And were you from a big family or?
I have a twin sister.
Oh, wow, a twin.
A twinny, but not at all identical. She was doing ballet, petite little thing.
Yep. Yes.
And everyone would say to her, so they'd say to me, "When are you going to put a brick on your head?" Like, really and truly, how relatives speak to at the Christmas functions. "When are you going to put a brick on your head?" And they say to Shree, "Oh, you know, you're still, you know, whatever, ballerina, you know, a little doll." And then I had, so my twinnie, I'm very close to my twinnie.
Yeah.
And then my best friend, Diane, her mother left her when she was very young, in the 60s, very unusual.
Very unusual.
In Brighton. I went off with another man and nothing too scandalous nowadays, I suppose. So Dida came to live with us.
Yeah.
So then there were five of us. And then Dad married after Mum died and remarried. And then we had a stepbrother and, so that's like the Brady Bunch.
Oh, wow.
The only thing that happened, my father rolled a car at I think, Beach Road in Brighton in the 60s.
Oh.
He and a mate, this was when Dad was at Cerberus when he was in the Navy.
Oh, right.
And the car flipped over and because of bench seats in those days, his mate got flipped in the back and Dad was in the front and the chassis actually crushed and they actually had to get the jaws of life out.
Oh, God.
It was terrible. Yeah. I don't know if my father was drinking or not. I'm just going to say it was very treacherous on Beach Road that night.
It's highly possible given that it was the 70s possible. And given that it was Bob.
It was the 60s and it was Bob.
Highly possible I could have been that back seat misbehaving.
Now, Kerry, tell us a little bit about your first song and why you chose it.
It's Do What You Do, Do Well. Now, my father, he used to, even if it was Disneyland on a Sunday night, we'd be watching.
Oh,
and
yes.
He'd have a little tear. And we used to always laugh at Dad, how he'd get, you know, sentimental.
Yeah.
Well, he brought this, you know, this record player, and then he brought a little EP home, you know, this little song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vinyl thing. And he said, now, I want you all to listen to this. And we'll just sit around and listen. And the song was Do What You Do, Do Well. And when you listen to it, what it is, and he said, never be ashamed to cry. Never be ashamed to show your emotions. And that doesn't matter if you're a male.
Yep.
You have as much right to cry as if you're a female. This was in the
60s.
Wow. Very advanced thinking in my household.
Absolutely. So here's Kerry's first track, which is Do What You Do, Do Well by Ned Miller. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett, Andrew, and our special guest Kerry from PFLAG Victoria on Joy 94.9.
Or pull down a big old tree. But my daddy became a mighty big man with a simple philosophy. Do what you do, do well, boy. Do what you do, do well. Give your love and all of your heart and do what you do, do well. Sometimes he'd kiss my mother and hold her tenderly. Then he'd look across the top of her head. Then he'd wink and say to me, do what you do, do well, boy. Do what you do, do well. Give your love and all of your heart and do what you do, do well.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the gorgeous Kerry from PFLAG Victoria on Joy 94.9.
Now, we've had a message pop through.
This is a message from a past guest and a dear friend of both of ours, and it's the person who put us in touch to get you on the show tonight, which is the lovely Michael Kendall. And it says, hi, boys, love the show. Kerry said, when we come out of the closet, our parents go into it. What did she mean?
Good on you, Mike. Mike is my favourite, my closest male BFF.
Yep.
MFF. What is it?
BFF.
BFF.
Yeah, whatever it is. That's what Mike is. And
as long as you didn't say DILF, that would have been awkward.
I don't know what that even stands for.
No, I'll tell you in the break.
Anyway, yes, what happens? Well, actually, it's a very good question for this next part. When Andrew, my son, came out, I was really known. I said this earlier. Most of it's politically incorrect to say this, but I was a true fag hag. I remember being at Mardi Gras in the very early days of Mardi Gras.
Yeah, wow.
Sitting with Adrian in the stand and saying, oh, there's PFLAG. I could join that because I'm a friend. He goes, oh, don't be so ridiculous. And I said, I would love to join that. That sounds great. Anyway, that was all right. Anyway, I remember my daughter saying to me about Andrew. She goes, oh, he does he goes, I think he could be gay. He's very, and I said, oh, no, he's just artistic the way he wants to do the interior decorating in our home. And then I noticed some things he did were very much like what Adrian did. I said, oh, isn't that lovely? I've got a young version of Adrian. Yep. Now, I had...
So who was Adrian?
He was my closest gay friend.
Yeah.
He was the president of the Collingwood Cheer Squad, Adrian Ratcliffe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Very gorgeous, gorgeous Adrian too. Another very, very best friend too, especially of that era. He was my closest. As close to my brother or anyone. And so it was okay. And then... Andrew had been somewhere and I said to him, we're driving along. Now, I'm from the other side of town.
Yes.
So I was over near the Maribyrnong River driving. And I said to Andrew, now look, you know, if you're gay, you can tell me. I said, look at all my gay friends, as if I'm going to care if you're gay or not.
Yep.
So I'm just driving away and thinking, obviously the answer's no, because I wouldn't have been asking that question. He said, yes.
Yep.
I nearly drove into the river. I nearly drove into the Maribyrnong River. I did not know the area. And I went, oh, my gosh. Now, that is – and I remember when people come to our home, friends of mine from the football cheer squads, and Dad was so open. He was amazing. And he used to go to their parents' homes and help them to, you know, tell their kids coming out and all. It's in the 70s and 80s. And yet – so I came in this really inclusive, amazing family home and so, you know, involved in the community. But when it was my son, and I remember we got home and Andrew said, and whenever there's always a problem, I always go straight to food. That's why I'm such a chubby. Looks like I've got a tragic life and I haven't. But I was opening the fridge and I actually didn't feel like eating, which was a miracle in itself. And Andrew said, look, you've always wanted two sons. This might be where you'll get two sons. I went, oh, okay. And I sat in front of my computer for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I was numb, absolutely numb. And I found it really hard. because of all my gay friends and being so involved in the community, how could I even tell anyone how I felt?
I
went so into that closet. I went super into that closet.
And
that was how I, you know, rang up
people. So can I ask a question, Kerry? Firstly, how old was Andrew when 13. He came out? Which is super young.
Yes.
Yeah.
And 13 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. And secondly, what do you think drove that reaction in you, being as you were so involved in the gay community and you were so familiar with gay people? What do you think drove that reaction in you when it came from your own son? Because my mum was a little bit similar, a very accepting of all of my gay friends, but struggled a little bit more when it was me. So what do you think drove that reaction in you?
I think for me, I was wrong. I was completely wrong with this. And I remember I didn't need PFLAG for very long, to be honest, before the acceptance really kicked in. But I remember someone saying to me, the dreams you have for your son are not his dreams. And I realised, oh, my gosh. And there's a commercial in Queensland that I've seen of the baby being born in the maternity ward who's, you know, they sell your baby's gay. Now, I would love a dollar for every parent who said to me when all that they would have no problem if their kids were gay, no problems whatsoever. And I think, isn't that great when you've got five straight kids? Isn't that great when you've got three straight kids? I think I did not want to see my son being in a minority group. I did not want him to have any pain at all. I was far too protective. I was pathetic. And I tried to protect Andrew from day one. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I was wanting so much to protect this beautiful boy. And I just did not want him to go through any harm. Now, a lot of people come to PFLAG, they used to say back then, oh, my kid about AIDS. I wasn't even thinking of any of that.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking of any of that at all. I just did not want my child to be in any struggle for him at all. And even now I can see, like, I'm very involved with the swimming world, and I love my Aussie rules. You know, it's still terrible what's out there. It's going on, and we're still in a true homophobic world. Like, I've stood up on public transport when, you know, there was this guy with his mates, and here's this young boy sitting next to me, not my son, someone I didn't know, he had makeup on, and here they are ridiculing this boy.
Yeah.
And I just stood up and said, blah, 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 quietly, and the train carriage ended up clapping. But, you know, I just think every time, we get opportunities all the time with homophobic carry on.
Yeah.
And we've got to pick our time. I know that, you know, not so I get myself into harm, but I just think we've come a long way. God, I can't believe how far we've all come as a society. But gee whiz, we've still got a long way to go. You only have to look at that video from Hozier, Take Me to Church. I couldn't even listen to the song after I've seen that.
Yeah.
And even the start of Mardi Gras when it was on the TV this year. Yeah. And they said, you know, people coming off the building. Like, I find that just gut-wrenching, as I think anyone else would.
I think the death, I remember, it's probably almost 20 years ago now, or probably not 20 years, but 15 years ago, about the death of that poor Matthew Shepherd, who was just brutally killed because of his sexuality. And for me, it's like, how could that happen in my lifetime? I mean, I don't want to say, oh, well, 50 years ago, that would have been acceptable, because it still wouldn't have been, but to happen in such a short time... To see what's happening in developing countries is just horrendous. Africa is just horrendous. And on top of that, there's the AIDS epidemic still going on, and people are just putting their heads in the sand.
Look, absolutely. But I think there's an external struggle, which is obviously homophobia, but there's also that internal struggle. And it's I think, Kerry, you were talking earlier, is the suicide rate
in
young gay people is still so ridiculously high, and it's heartbreaking.
And
when you think
actually higher in trans.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely, as well. Yeah. Even higher in trans.
You only have to I'll just go back to those horrific murders that happened. The police in New South Wales, they did not put the same energy into it.
Of course not.
What happened around the Bondi Cliffs and all. What happened there?
Back in the 80s.
Yes, and that beautiful boy who was tossed over that cliff, and he was a Bondi boy through and through.
Yeah.
And I find all of it just incredible what people were allowed to... What was allowed to go on?
Yeah.
That would not happen today. Thank God.
Thank God. Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, we are going to continue talking more with Kerry on PFLAG. You're listening to Brett and Andy tonight with our beautiful guest, Kerry, only on Joy 94.9.
Come with us as we take you to new heights. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very special guest, Kerry Beitzel from PFLAG Victoria on Joy 94.9.
Now, my love.
Yes.
What's Chatterbox about
we
again?
We are a talk show where we bring in the members of the community to talk about themselves and also their experiences. And tonight we've got Kerry from PFLAG, which is Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. She's the head of PFLAG Victoria. And before we went to the break, she was talking about her own personal experience when her son came out and how that impacted her. She was quite familiar with the gay community, but still had a reasonably tough time. So, Kerry, we asked you to choose a song that best summed up how you feel about your son's coming out and your son. And what song did you choose?
You Are My Sunshine.
Now, if I'm going to cry in the break, it's probably going to be during this song. So, without further ado, if we come back and I have a blubbering mess, it's all Kerry's fault. So, you're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the gorgeous Kerry from PFLAG on Joy 94.9.
Sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, when I lay sleeping, I dreamt I held you. Mistaken, so I hung my head and cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
You're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest, Kerry from PFLAG, only on Joy 94.9. Now, before we went to the break, we talked about how you got involved, Kerry, but tell us about probably some of the challenges that PFLAG has had over the years.
I think the biggest challenge, the community accept us so easily.
Yeah.
And I remember they needed to do some fundraising, and I'd only been in PFLAG a few weeks, and I said, oh, you know, I helped with the fundraising thing, and it was a lot of work, and we only raised a little bit of money. So I thought, gee whiz, we can do it better than this.
Yeah.
Trying to be a know-all, but I knew how respected this group was. And it was midsummer, and I went and got, I think, 3,000 midsummer PFLAG badges. Well, they couldn't believe we're still living off the profits of that one night of 1800. And,
brilliant.
And I had one badge that said, I'm a proud PFLAG mum. Now, this was before anyone had seen someone like this.
Yeah,
someone wanted to buy that for $50, $100. If only I'd have known, I would pretend it was the only one and sold them all.
Yeah.
But anyway, but that was the start of getting involved in PFLAG.
Yeah.
And so we never had a challenge trying to raise money.
Yeah.
And we had Spiro from the market and, you know, people would give us some check here and there, but really we had no problem there. And even today we'd have no problem.
Yeah.
Where the biggest challenge is, parents don't stay long enough now in PFLAG, which is a great thing because acceptance happens so fast.
Yeah.
So trying to get, like, we've all been on the committee for far too long.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a healthy committee, I think, when you've got, well, it's still healthy, I don't mean that, but, you know, when you're not bringing new blood in.
Sure. Yeah.
And but people don't hang around long enough to, you know, because they accept so quickly.
Yeah.
So our biggest challenge now is we're all tired and we need new parents to come onto the committee.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Now, we need a couple of people from the gay community to help us in different areas.
Yeah.
But the, couple of areas we need. But definitely, and we've got, you know, gorgeous a gay person on our committee now, but we do need new parents coming onto that committee.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the demand isn't there as much, but there still is a demand.
So what type of services do PFLAG offer?
Well, we were doing the family meetings, but we found what was happening was mainly just the committee month in, month out.
Yeah.
So we made a decision that what we would then do when people would ring in, I'm on the national helpline.
Yeah.
And we also have Marie, who does the most amazing job on the Victorian helpline.
Yeah.
So between us, we really run that. And so if a parent is struggling, I'll go and meet them for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And
then so it's that face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Yeah.
And then we have other people from the committee, if it's, you know, more of their in their area. Or, you know, so we divide it up into four. So we do a lot of the face-to-face. But we find really within a couple of meetings, the acceptance is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's not such an unusual thing nowadays.
No.
It's out there. Celebrities and everything. It's right there.
Yeah.
And what type of – I think it's something that certainly when we've had guests on the show previously that have come from rural Victoria that have said at the time their parents, because they were living out in the country, they'd never seen – there was no gay reference – that now it's so much more visible and there are so many more people in the media or in society that there's contact, it's less of a struggle to get their heads around.
Definitely.
Which is great for the gay community.
Fantastic.
And I think you said before we came on air, it would be lovely to think that maybe in, you know, 5 or 10 years' time there would be no need for PFLAG. Mm. But I don't think that will ever be the case because there will always be people that need support.
I think Melbourne's definitely leading the charge for... You know, we've stopped the family meetings because it wasn't a need for that.
Yeah.
And that is amazing. So we are Melbourne is very advanced.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But I think also, like, when there was one thing I did want to say. Like, I think everyone listening out there, be kind to your parents because you've had years to get used to this idea.
Yeah, totally.
Or months, or you've had a long, long time. And for us parents, it's not in our radar to think, oh, you know, for most of us.
Yeah.
Well, definitely for me, my kid's gay.
Yeah.
You know, so it's you know this is where you are. And you've been struggling with it and all the rest, and then such a relief. But for us, it is usually a huge shock.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing like, you know, we see what we want to see.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I know of my Andrew. I saw what I want to see. And so we need to go easy on us. It doesn't mean we don't love you, kids. It means we love you most likely too much. And don't take advantage of us either. And don't blackmail us for that. But definitely we need to be, you know, treat us kindly.
It's a really good point that you raised because, again, we've had virtually every person that's come on the show that's talked about their coming out story. When their parents have struggled initially, it's usually just taken time.
Yes.
And it's what we've talked about on the show is that as gay people, you have years, months to get your head around or feel comfortable enough to actually come out and tell people. And you tell people, and I think maybe often it's around the age, because usually it's maybe that teen or early 20s, where there's a lot of bravado there. You can come out and just expect everybody else to get it because you've had time to get used to it. But it's a shock to a lot of people, particularly parents. And as you said, the closer you are, sometimes the harder it is.
Yes.
And it's just allowing that time.
And try not to do it just on Christmas Day. And try not to do it just before the big family wedding. Just a bit of suggestions for you all out there, kids.
Pick your moments, gays, is what we're saying. Pick your moments.
I know, but sometimes life just happens, doesn't it? You're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our very special guest, Kerry from PFLAG, only on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our very, very special guest, the gorgeous Kerry from PFLAG Victoria on Joy 94.9.
My love.
Now, Kerry, before we went to that lovely community service announcement, you were talking about some of the biggest challenges that PFLAG face at the moment. But you've been involved now for how long?
Oh, well, about nearly 15 years.
What are some of the most rewarding things that you've got in that 15 years from PFLAG?
Okay. I think definitely, look, if I was a really good person, I'd say when you see the parents starting to accept and you see a huge difference just meeting someone for a cup of tea and all. Like there was one family and there were two boys in the family and they're a Muslim family. And I went and saw the mother and it was in the middle of winter and it was the last thing I wanted to do in the middle of winter because they were so distressed.
Yeah.
Now, that to see how that mother was, I thought we might have needed to call a doctor. Yeah. She was in deep shock. She was in such deep shock.
Yeah.
But the next time I saw one of the boys and asked how the mum was, and everything was great. Now, I couldn't believe it. And that was just phenomenal.
Yep.
And I see that again and again. Personally, my greatest memory, one of my happiest memories, I hope I won't get emotional when I say this, was when, I remember when Andrew was very young, he walked, when he came out, I didn't want him to feel isolated. Mm. So I took him up to Mardi Gras. Anyway, I was out in my pyjamas at Potts Point trying to work out where my son had sneaked out to. He was all 14,
oh,
half 15.
Right.
And someone was talking to him. I told him to get away from him. I said, he's a he's a young boy now. Get into that room. So anyway, that's how that went. Of course, you can go to the party, any other part. Anyway, that was that. But we did do the march together, and someone said he was cute. And I said, isn't he gorgeous? He's my son. And he walked well away from me after that.
Yeah.
He was so disgusted in my behaviour, marching during Mardi Gras. But the last time I was with Andrew and we did Mardi Gras march, and he was a bit older, of course, 2 years ago this was, and we were walking, it was raining, and I was crying. And it was really so emotional. It was, as a volunteer, we don't, and it's unconditional. We shouldn't get any rewards. We don't expect any rewards.
Yes.
But I'd love all our volunteers from our committee who work so hard for PFLAG. I try to encourage them to go to Mardi Gras because it's the one time you really are rewarded with all that cheering. You don't expect it. You don't deserve, it's not, it's unconditional what you do, but to, you know, time after time. And that was going to be my last Mardi Gras. I thought, no, we've got to stop sometime. Yeah, I can't get addicted to this cheering. Otherwise, I'll be wanting to cheer down Bourke Street. I can't, you know, but to Andrew to join me that time. And it was really something. Special. And also, when I'd see him in the crowd, I used to pay for that Bobby Goldsmith stand seat.
Yeah, same.
And I'd see him. I'd always make sure where the spot was. And I tell you what, it was just so incredible to see him and hug him. Well, one time he jumped the barrier and walked with me.
Wow.
I was just so proud and so excited. And, you know, they just bring up the most amazing memories. I know we had Pride Day here, and but Mardi Gras really hats off to Sydney. They do it the best.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just, that's so rewarding. And I wouldn't feel right doing that if I didn't put in as a volunteer.
You know, I know you do.
I could not even do anything and still be allowed to go marching Mardi Gras. But I think it's something you've earned your seat.
Because PFLAG are always involved quite heavily in Midsummer and Pride as part of the Midsummer Festival here, aren't you? Because I always see you marching and I always see you've got a stand at Midsummer.
And we didn't have a stand last year. We didn't because they volunteer. Once again, that's our greatest challenge. We need volunteers. We need help. We can't continue this group with just the skeleton group we've got.
They're
gorgeous people, but we're all getting tired. But that's so rewarding to that. Also, it's amazing to see parents, the acceptance when you think it's such a lost situation through just people supporting. Like when you think all PFLAG's doing is really what started, which is really what Bill W. did with 12-step AA.
People
supporting each other.
Absolutely.
And that program has worked in so many areas for, and really PFLAG in many ways is exactly the same. Our lives haven't become unmanageable. We're not doing the 12 steps. But it's just people supporting each other with a common denominator.
Absolutely. Hey, Kerry, on Chatterbox, we ask our beautiful guests to talk us through their life through song and chat. And your next song, bit of a fave of mine, because I'm sure this is from Airport 75.
Which is
one of my all-time... I love disaster films. Wait. I love Airport 75.
Brett, you are the only person I know.
Yes.
When I went to the Helen Reddy concert, I even missed out going to the swimming nationals. This was last year when she came out, and she had all the cheer squad there and all. And when she sung this song, everything went quiet, and I'm up there cheering. I actually went out. I was not as a music person. I went out and bought the whole vinyl album. I had to buy the album of the track soundtrack because that was the only way to get a song of this.
Song,
Best Friend. And, you know, with the singing as the flying
nun. Yeah, she was the nun.
And I have lived so
next to Gloria Swanson was in the seat ahead.
And, like, I Am Woman was a huge song for me for my young years. There's no doubt about it. It gave me great courage. But this song was always my song whenever I was down, whenever I felt doing my own thing. Because when you're an individual, usually you can be on your own when you're an individual.
Absolutely.
And even when I go to a movie on my own, this song is my... I can sing this song word perfect, but we'll let Helen sing it instead.
And here it is now, Best Friend by Helen Reddy. You're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our beautiful guest, Kerry.
Would you be kinder to yourself? Would you be more forgiving of your human imperfections if you realized your best friend was yourself? Who is always with you everywhere? Who is on your side when others are unfair? Tell me who will never let you down in any situation? Who will always see you get your share?
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the gorgeous Kerry from PFLAG Victoria on Joy 94.9. And that was Kerry's third track for the night, which was the gorgeous Helen Reddy with Best Friend, which we we jumped on the fact that it was from Airport 75,
yes,
and she was
did.
A mad nun singing to The Exorcist.
Absolutely.
Because the little girl, the little sick girl she was singing to was Linda Blair.
Was The Exorcist. Absolutely. And Probably. Karen Black was, there's nobody flying the plane.
Oh, Bung Eye Black.
Oh, Bung Eye Black. Oh, bless her heart. Now, Kerry, we were just talking a moment ago about, we were looking at the future of PFLAG and, yep. and where to from here, so to speak.
Well, I think where PFLAG is going, I can see in my lifetime, which I'm amazed, I can see we're going to have marriages and weddings in
yep.
Australia,
yes.
which I think is phenomenal. I'd love yeah. to see us become a Republican as well. Yeah. Republic as well. But anyway, I'll set
up. Not sure how PFLAG will help out.
No,
there,
no,
but
no.
That'll
no.
Be good.
I'll find a way, which I did in 99.
Oh,
yes. I've still got the T-shirt for the next referendum and all the stickers and the bouncing. And but anyway, that's another story for another night. And
say hello to lots of queens, but yeah. goodbye to one.
Very much so. But, in, but with I think with PFLAG, I can see the need for PFLAG less and less. There will always be a need, but I think Melbourne is leading the way where we're seeing the telephone part of it, meeting for a cup of tea.
Yep.
Like when I came into PFLAG, we'd have 40, 50 people at the meetings.
Wow.
And you'd say, oh, well, maybe we're doing the meetings differently. Maybe we need to bring a guest in. And I'd follow up with new parents and say, look, you haven't come back. Is there something? I need to know. Is there something we've done?
Yeah.
You know? And they said, oh, no, we felt so comfortable with how you spoke. We went away just realising we're not on our own and just a couple of phone calls and that's it. So we've got a much shorter cycle of acceptance.
Mm.
So where we are, I think Melbourne, Victoria, not the country towns of PFLAG, where the country towns were up, but Melbourne, I think will lead the way where we get to less and less and less.
You mentioned earlier you had a Muslim family come to you. Do you think there's potentially, as more and more Muslim families move to Australia, that there's going to be a greater need for PFLAG for certain cultural or not?
Yeah. Well, I thought we have had some who've done breakaway groups.
Yeah.
But I think the common denominator is, we've got a kid who's gay, regardless of, and it's not political. Like some people bring that this politician should do this, and I really try to steer clear of all that because once we get away from our prime purpose, we're in trouble and we divert and all the rest. And even though those the other groups did, and we would support them and all, they still would all come back to PFLAG because there really wasn't, they were finding it was shrinking too.
Yeah.
So. And maybe a Muslim group would want to start and we would certainly help them if they wanted to, because it's not like we've got to have this brand, it's got to keep expanding.
Sure.
It's a voluntary group. But I think the answers are all there within the one group.
Yeah.
With the trans area, it's very different because the trans, like we'd have a parent who'd come to us, they'd be up, they'd need support, their child's come out, adult child or whatever's come out. And then maybe 12 months later, 2 years later, they come back and the child
identifies trans.
And I tell you what, it was a whole different level from the parent.
Yeah.
We wouldn't really know what to say because none of our kids, are trans.
Absolutely.
So there's a fantastic trans community, amazing group, and there's an amazing group of parents out there that are there to support other parents because it is a whole different area. Like you've got children 6, 7, 8 coming, identifying as trans, and Royal Children's Hospital has a whole department now dedicated to it. So huge. Look, I just think it's incredible for the trans community.
Yeah.
How it's great that I'm seeing that in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Even though
I'm
not involved, and I don't have to be involved in anything to get excited. But it's a wonderful thing.
No, but I think to your point is firstly, I think a lot of trans people come to that realization a lot earlier because often with your sexuality, it's usually not until puberty kicks in that you sort of start to think, okay, this is. But I think trans must be, from a very young age that you feel like you're in the wrong body.
Yes.
And it's a completely different process. And I know we've got the GLBTIQA and we come together as a community, but there are so many different facets that sit within that community that you can't use the one broad brushstroke all of them.
And I mean, even you and I, who have never really fully understood trans issues because
we're not trans.
Yes. And it's only been in the last few years where you and I have been watching documentaries and fascinating and trying to put yourself into the place of, well, it was hard enough for me to come out about my sexuality, but how do I identify if I was a man who actually felt more woman, absolutely, or vice versa. I mean, it's just a whole, it's a whole different gamut to deal with. And I'm so glad though the world is, I mean, what's happened with Bruce Jenner.
Oh, took the words out of my mouth.
Caitlin.
Who is now Caitlin. Thank you, my love. We've talked about it a few times on the show, but it's fascinating. And I'm so glad that the majority has been so supportive,
absolutely,
of Caitlin. Yep. And she looked fabulous.
Gorgeous.
And at the end of the day, what an FU picture, like, to the world.
Beautiful. And like the Kardashians, like, I just thought as a family, they were gorgeous. They were supportive.
Yep.
It was really amazing. Yes. I think the way the interview was held with such dignity.
Absolutely.
That was the world's number one athlete.
Absolutely.
I know.
To have the bravery of that person to come out. I don't mean that in a rude way. For Caitlin to come out, how fabulous that was, and what courage that will give to so many unlimited people. They'll give courage
absolutely
to.
I think Caitlin. it raises Caitlin, conversation, which is so exciting.
I'm going out to buy Kardashian bags tomorrow. An excuse to buy a bag.
Hey, you're listening to Brett and Andy and our special guest Kerry, only on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our special guest, the gorgeous Kerry from PFLAG Victoria on Joy 94.9.
My love, we've run out of time again.
We really have. Now, Kerry, your last track of the night, please, please set it up. It's an absolute cracker.
Why did you choose it? Katy Perry. I saw an interview with Katy Perry. Her birthday's on the same day as Helen Reddy. And this is meant to be the new song for the I Am Woman generation.
Oh, fantastic.
But also, Mike Kendall's niece, we go out quite a lot and play this song. We're word perfect.
Oh,
we think
we're
Katy Perry. We think we're the tiger. We have all the hand actions that I've invented, which Katy could learn from. And we just love raw. So to Julia and I, this is our song.
Fantastic. Kerry, you've been a fabulous guest tonight.
You really have.
If people want to know more about PFLAG, where do they go?
There's a website. We're on Facebook, pflagvictoria.org.au. Just Google us, PFLAG Victoria. We'll come up there. And for all the parents who are struggling, if you're young people out there, if your parents are struggling, just ask them to give us a ring. All that they know, they're not on their own. We're a group. We're a family. It's all part of the rainbow family.
Fabulous. Thank you. My love, any final words?
Just thank you, Kerry. You've been absolutely delightful and it was an absolute joy to have you on. And good night, Melbourne. We will see you next week.
Absolutely. Good night, Australia.
Thank you. Thank you.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.